Well, praise the Lord. Last month we were talking about Jesus in us and the difference that he makes in us. And we're kind of continuing with that same thing. I want to move us on into the real purpose that God has. And that is, of course, to bring us all into sonship. Jesus was the firstborn, but he wants all of us to be sons. He wants to change us into his image. It seems like, you know, as soon as you mention anything about, you know, being changed into the image of Jesus, it's like Christians just turn off, like, well, that would never be possible. But it is possible, or God wouldn't say he was doing it. And he's not saying he's going to do it when we get to heaven. He's saying he wants to change us into his image now. And, of course, he's doing that by this indwelling Christ that we covered last month, Jesus in me, making that difference. Jesus in me, battling the works of the devil. This is the reason the Son of God was made manifest to undo, dissolve, loosen and destroy all the work the devil has done. Well, when that is accomplished, all of this left is the image of Jesus, because Christ was already in there before the destruction began to take place. And so he's working in us, and he's changing us. And of course, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. So God is actually transforming us. And he said all you have to do is keep your eye focused on Jesus. Okay? We become what we focus on. If we watch garbage on TV, it's not very long that our lives look just like the TV program. It's because that's what we focus on. And so we gradually become whatever it is that we focus on. And of course, we see this. For instance, in abusive homes, that there are children that grow up in abusive homes, and they just, you know, it just destroys them, and they hate the fact that they're, you know, that they're being abused and all of that, and then when they grow up, they become abusive parents because they're all the time focused on and looking back at their abusive childhood and the parents that abused them. Years ago, I would be, you know, going different places, and people would come to me, especially the women. They would come and they'd say, you know, my life is a mess. And I said, well, tell me about your life. And they'd start to tell me, and I would tell them which soap opera they were watching. Because, and they said, well, how did you know? They thought I was prophesying or something. I said, no. That's what you focused on, and that's now your life. See? And so Jesus is saying, keep focused on me. If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. So if we can focus on Jesus and stay focused on Jesus, don't focus on your enemies, don't focus on your problems, don't focus on anything but Jesus. Live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then after that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then when you get done with that, do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And pretty soon, you'll begin to be changed into the same image. And when you get that down good, then move over. Don't quit doing that, but move over to the book of Revelation. Because it is the revelation of a person, and his name is Jesus. And either read it or put a, if you can have a Bible, a CD, put that CD on and listen to it all the way through. People say, well, I don't understand the book of Revelation. You're not supposed to understand the book of Revelation. It was never written to be understood. It's a worship manual. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so the more you read it, the scripture itself says the more you're blessed. Blessed is he who reads, and blessed is he who hears. And so we actually pick up on the blessing, and we are being changed into that same image. See? And by the way, the same victory that Jesus accomplishes in the book of Revelation will also become yours. Because that's the vision you're picking up. You know, you pick up on, see the fact, and we talked about this last month, but see, Jesus fought every battle, every temptation that you'll ever, ever, ever face. He didn't just fight it, he won. He won every battle. And he is actually inside of you winning again. It's not our battle. It's his battle. See? And all we have to do is keep acknowledging him, worshiping him, focusing on him, and we will actually be changed into his image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 7. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. At least the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have, present tense, see, this treasure in earthen vessels, I'll get it right, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That what people see is going to be of God and not of us. We don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ. And we radiate Jesus Christ. And it says, and if you look at all of the negatives and think of them in terms of positives, this really becomes a wonderful verse. Why did it all go wrong? See, even if the gospel is veiled, so yeah, it's veiled. We understand that. It is veiled to those who are perishing. Well, that's not me, because I'm not perishing. So it's not veiled to me. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Turn it to a positive. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. That's not me. So my eyes are open, right? Because I'm focused on Jesus. See? Who do not believe. Well, that's not me, because I'm a believer. So that means the light's going to shine.
That's right.
At least the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. So that's the potential. That's the potential for us, is that this light is going to shine, and this light is going to change us. Who is the image of God should shine on them. So remember Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. As he changes us, when they see us, they see Jesus. Because we're being changed into that same image. The early church, they called them Christians. That was not a good term. See, they did that as a derogatory statement. They were really mad at the people that looked like Jesus. And so they thought they were calling him a dirty name. See, you Christians, you know, you look like Christ, you know, and of course they didn't like Christ. And so they called them Christians. See? And of course, after a while, the Christians said, hey, that's pretty good. I think we'll accept that. We are the Christ-like ones. We've been changed, and people are now recognizing Jesus in us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of people seeing glory. Glory being the recognizable reality of God's presence. So everywhere I go, people recognize. And I have total strangers walk up to me and just start talking to me. And they're talking to me like they're talking to God. And at first I'd get real upset. I said, well, why don't you talk to God about that? And so I was talking to the Lord about it one day, and they said, they are. They're talking to you because you're the face that's on the earth. But you represent me. And because you look like me, they think they can talk to you and get results. And you know what? They can. Because I also represent God back to them. I ministered to them in Jesus' name or in His behalf. See that when we say in the name of Jesus, we're not speaking a formula.
No.
It's not a word that, you know, somehow makes magic happen. We are actually representing Jesus and speaking in His behalf. That's what He wants us to do. Do everything in the name of Jesus. No matter what you're doing, do everything in the name of Jesus. You're here in His behalf. We are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ should look like Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:49. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. That's not talking about when we go to heaven. Of course, we will. But it's saying, now, you picked up on the image of Adam. Now you're picking up on the image of Jesus Christ. And that image, the heavenly man, is actually changing us so that we're now coming into the image of Jesus Christ. See, for so long the church downplayed that as though, oh, that's never possible. That'll never happen. And it just, they wanted to make it like it's, well, when you go to heaven, when you die and go to heaven, and that's true, you know, we will. But it's like, well, we'll never, you know, do that down here. The Bible says it, but we will. Mm-hmm. Okay? John 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John, giving witness, said, we've actually seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as we then behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, this same glory, then we will be changed, and we will be changed, and we will be changed. You see, if you have to be careful what you're allowing to come in to your ears and what's coming into your eyes, because it makes a difference in who you are. See, and the gospel is actually hid to them, and so if we want to be totally changed, see, this is where I am. You know, I'm working through this too. But I want to be changed into the same image. And just talking to the Lord here a couple of days ago, and you know, and I'm saying, you know, search me, O God, see if there be any wicked way in me. And I began to see selfishness in me. And then I realized, you know, that I'd been around selfish people, and because I wasn't resisting that or, you know, coming against it, But if there's anyone that's unselfish, it's God.
That's right.
If there's anyone that's unselfish, it's Jesus. And so I decided to start focusing on Jesus being a servant, Jesus sacrificing his life, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I began to focus, and all of a sudden I could just feel selfishness leaving me. It just started going away. Unbeknownst to us, a lot of times we're allowing things because it's acceptable in Christian circles. Now, a lot of times selfishness is acceptable in Christian circles. And you can always tell, because selfishness will always lead to offense. See, you cannot offend an unselfish person. It's impossible to offend an unselfish person. So if a person can be offended, they're selfish. And if I got offended, then that tells me I'm selfish. And I need to repent, and I need to get that out of my life, because Jesus is not selfish. And of course, sin comes out of that selfishness. The love of God is self-sacrificial giving. The opposite of love is not hate. Okay, you know, we think love, hate. Well, it can't be, because there are things that God hates. God said, "I hate," and he tells you what all he hates. Well, God who is love can also hate. Hate cannot be the opposite of love. Okay, but lust is the opposite of love.
Yeah.
Lust says, what can I get for me, regardless of what it costs anyone else? That becomes the root of sin. See, we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own selfishness, by our own, I'm going to have my way. For instance, in Timothy, it talks about wisdom. Wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable. And then one of the definitions there of wisdom from above, it is easy to be entreated, it says in King James Version. And from the Greek, it just simply means it allows discussion. And so if I say, I'm right and you're wrong, end of conversation, we're not going to discuss it, then you know it comes out of selfishness.
Yeah.
Which most, until I became a pastor, I always tried to avoid church business meetings.
Yes.
Because it, even though they were Christians, there were so many selfish people. And you know, I'm going to have my way, or I'm going to leave. I'll take my money and be gone. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, and they'd either rule or leave, or dominate or whatever, you know. But that was all out of selfishness. And they would get offended. Fact is, I could, when I pastored, I could tell when people were getting ready to get offended. And you could watch it building. And then one day you would do something, weeks after they got started in it, and I am totally offended you did this. And they'll point to one particular thing that just happened, but they'd already been weeks getting ready because they were selfish and I wasn't doing what they told me to do. If we're going to be changed into the image of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to be rid of selfishness. We're going to have to be rid of lust. We're going to have to be rid of covetousness, which is idolatry. But you can't just quit doing these things. We don't have the power to quit. Okay? So I can't just tell you, quit it. Be good. Stop doing that. See, it'll never, ever happen. But if you focus on Jesus, Jesus will destroy all the work the devil has done and displace it with the image of the Father. According to Colossians 2, it said, the Godhead dwelt in Jesus' body, dwelt in him bodily. So the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit dwelt when Jesus was on the earth. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit were all in that body. Okay? That's verse 9. Verse 10 says, and you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and come into full spiritual stature. We'll look at that in the Amplified Bible. I love that, the Amplified. It's Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. For in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him made full and have come to fullness of life. In Christ you too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality in and power. We come into full spiritual stature. Not halfway, not three-quarters of the way, not 80%. It says we come into full spiritual stature because the Godhead is dwelling in us. The Godhead is changing us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, the word creation here is in the Greek, compatible to the, if you're reading it in the Septuagint, the Old Testament was also translated from Hebrew into Greek. So in the Greek Septuagint of the Old Testament, they use this exact same word, and it's the only two places that it's used. And it said, in the beginning, God created. Bara. He made something out of nothing. And now you are a new creation in Christ. God started in and he made something out of nothing when you were born again. It's the same word. And they don't use it anywhere else. Because everywhere else they use the word something's made out of something. But when God made us a new creation, he made something out of nothing. So he didn't just make us a better person. He's making us a whole new creation in the image of his Son so that he can have many sons of the same stature and of the same image. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. I don't think it can get any clearer than that.
No.
Thank you. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So he intends for us to look exactly like Jesus.
Before heaven or now?
Now.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Now.
Yep. And of course, that's his work. See, that's what he's doing inside of us. We can't do it. We can strain all day long. And you can't buy it. You can't be it. You can't intuit it. The only way we can do is focus on Jesus and let him change us. Day by day, hour by hour. What I find is the more I go into the closet and be quiet with him, be in his word and in the spirit, and he actually deals with me. The veil is coming off. And he doesn't just rip the veil off. The veil, little by little. Remember we talked about there are two things that have been established in the church. One is theology and the other is religion. Okay? And neither one of those will ever make you to be in the image of Jesus Christ. because both of those are from the earth focused up. And so we don't have a God detector that so that we can, say, oh, now I know what God is like. My God detector has revealed this. The only thing we ever know about God is what God shows us about himself. And so we are dependent on revelation and relationship. Okay? Both of those are coming down this way. Theology and religion go this way. Revelation and relationship come this way. Righteousness is from above. See? And so we're being changed into the same image from glory to glory because we focus. Jesus was always focused on the Father. I do what I see my Father do. I speak what I hear my Father. So he was always focused on the Father. Spent many, many, many hours going to the mountain and just being alone with the Father, focusing on the Father. And when he came down, even to the point of being transformed and transfigured. Moses was transfigured because he went up into the presence of the Lord, because he saw the Lord, and it radiated from him when he came back down into the darkness, into the presence of sin, and had to put a veil over his face because of the sinfulness of the people. They couldn't stand the glory. And of course, as we're changed, people won't be able to stand the glory. Now, the oppressed will run to us. The poor, the needy, will actually run to us because they'll love it. The religious people will do everything they can to kill you. When we radiate Jesus Christ, I think I might have shared with you when some of the people went down to New Orleans during the Mardi Gras. Normally they went down, passed out tracts, and just witnessed to people. And when they went back down, then the following year, God told them, "Now I don't want you passing out tracts. I don't want you even going out among the people until I tell you." And he said, "What I want you to do, I want you to stay on the bus, and I want you to pray. And I want you to seek my face. And then when I say to go, you go." And so they thought, time's passing by, and oh my, we could be out here doing so much work. But they just prayed and they prayed and they prayed until the glory of God came upon them. And he said, "Now go out two by two, but don't talk to the people until I tell you who to talk to." He said, "Don't speak to anyone." And so they walked out, and they just walked down the street, and the people screamed at them, "Stop preaching at us!" They said, "But we're not saying anything."
Said a word.
Yeah. But the glory of God was convicting them of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. And then when God would say that one, they'd walk over, and 100% of the time they would lead them to Christ.
That's so neat.
At the church, we were talking about being perfect or being complete.
Yes.
Okay.
So
people feel incomplete.
No.
And they sense what we have would make them complete.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. See, we think of perfect as never making a mistake. That's not what it means. It means to be complete. By the way, that is the same. One of the definitions of peace is to be whole. And so people are searching for peace. I was talking to a hospice man, and he said every one of his patients, every one of the people that he goes to, they're dying, and they say, "All I want is peace. If I could just find peace. If I could just be whole. If I could just be complete." And so people have spent their whole life being incomplete until they meet Jesus. Jesus will make you complete.
Amen.
Jesus will make you perfect. Jesus will bring you to peace. So your life is whole. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Okay, Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So putting on this new man is actually putting on holiness and righteousness. See, holiness isn't the clothes you wear or the way you fix your hair or anything like that. Holiness is the completion of the work of sanctification. Sanctification is the work of God inside of you, in your spirit. Okay? There's this incorruptible seed that God puts inside of you, and it begins to change your soul. And then that begins to change your body. So we're sanctified spirit, soul, and body, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians. We're being sanctified spirit, soul, and body. And then God says, be holy, for I am holy. See? And so holiness is the end work of sanctification. In the Greek, they're both the same word. They're not two different words. And so the only way you can tell whether it's holiness or sanctification is whether they're talking about the process or the end product. Sanctification leads you to holiness. They're both. You could actually interchange, you know, you could say, you know, holiness leads you to sanctification if you wanted to, as far as the Greek. But if you follow the context and what the sentence is actually trying to say, you can say, okay, this one's sanctification because it's still a process. He is sanctifying me.
And that leads to holiness.
And that leads to holiness, which means then that total separation. Both of them mean separate.
Okay.
Separate from the world.
Yeah.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so the more we're filled with the love of God, the less we will love the world. Less we'll care about the world and the things of the world. Yeah. It's like it's, to me, things are just totally meaningless. Yeah. I have things, I just call it stuff. I just have stuff, I have a lot of stuff, you know. But I'm getting rid of stuff. And more and more moving to simplicity of life. And I hope to be able just to get rid of all of my stuff and live in simplicity, that freedom of the gospel, being changed. See, Paul tells us, is it 1 Corinthians 7? I'm forgetting now. It's the 7th chapter, I know. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 7. He says, let him who has a wife be as though he has none, and he who buys as though he possesses not. That'd be different, wouldn't it? Okay, he who has a wife be as though he has none, and he who buys as though he possesses not. In other words, now he's not saying don't love your wife.
No.
Because in Ephesians, Paul says, love your wife just like Christ loves the church, so he can't be saying that. So what is he saying? He's saying be so detached that Christ can do anything he wants with you, that you will follow him, that you will love him. Let your love for Christ be such that it's almost like you hate your mom and dad and your wife and your children. Jesus mentions all the different things, you know, in comparison, see. And so we don't let these, see, we buy things so we can possess them. The problem is they end up possessing us. Mm-hmm. They end up ruling our life, and then they end up ruining our life. And as he brings us into simplicity, and I believe that this is in the process of sanctification, we're entering into a whole new light. A whole new move of God. And I'm watching people just moving away from, you know, hoarding and storing up and you know, and just going to the very simple. I can only eat at one table at a time. I can only sleep in one bed at a time. You know, I don't need that. You know, and of course the rich, they have like seven homes in five different countries or whatever. You know, and but the believer is just, it's like no. You know. And what's beautiful is watching the young people. That's the one beautiful thing of the young people coming up, is that they're not, they don't want anything. No matter how rich their parents are or anything else, it's like, no, you can keep it all. I'm going to follow Jesus. The result of that is they're being actually changed into the image of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing that God is doing. And like I said, it's, well, probably we should have been doing it a long time ago, but the fact is, the more God reveals himself to us, the greater the reality of God, the more we're willing to let go, open our hands, and say, you know what? I don't need that anymore. I don't need that in my life. Of course, there's a time to give up bad stuff. You know, and we went through, you know, I think everybody goes through, oh my, this is killing me. You know, I need to get rid of this. But then, when all the bad stuff is gone, there's good stuff that we get rid of. And that's where I am. I'm getting rid of good things because there's a better thing. I've found something better. I've seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I've seen light. I've experienced something. I experienced, for the last month of ministry, I've just experienced glory after glory after glory after glory. And I say, that's what I want. See, that'll cause us to turn loose of even good things and say, I found something better. And as I can't hang on to both at the same time, I think I'll let that go. And no one would think of it as being sin or a hindrance or anything else. But if it can lighten me to where I can be enlightened, I want to let go. Okay? Because I've seen something. I've seen the glory of the Lord. And I'm going for it. Okay, so we Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we put on this new man or this new creation, which is Christ in you, which is Jesus birthed in you, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So it's talking here about being changed into the image of the Father, see, who created Jesus in his image. So there's a twofold thing. Okay, as this occurs in us, then we become the display of God. We begin to display, for instance, his love. We don't try to love. No. We don't decide to love. Now, love is our new character. It's our new nature. And we just go out wherever we go. And love is the essence of who we are. Because love abides in us. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. See? We begin to display his glory. We begin to display his grace. We're gracious people. We display his forgiveness. We forgive. Freely you have received, freely give. I can afford to forgive because I've been forgiven.
That's right.
And so we display this. You know, his grace, his mercy, his compassion. See? All of this now is on display because we're changed into his image. And next month we'll kind of go verse by verse and take these various things that we're displaying and look at them in Scripture so that we can see. And it's not like I'm going to try to become.
No.
See, it's like I'm going to spend more time alone with God. I'm going to go into the closet. I'm going to shut the door. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But just visiting with him, talking with him. I don't know what your prayer time is like, but I have a comfortable chair like that one in my office, and I just sit there, and I'm in no hurry. He may not talk all the time. I may not talk all the time. We just kind of sit, but he leads me, and he talks to me, and then I'll respond to that. And then he'll say something to me, and I'll respond to that, and I write it down so that I kind of keep a journal of our conversation, because it's a spiritual conversation, and it'll vanish away real quick if I don't write it down. It's like, I'll never forget that. If I live to be 120, and 15 minutes later, it's like, I have no idea what it was. Because it's revelation. But it's the revelation of Jesus that's going to transform us. So my invitation to you, my encouragement to you, spend more time alone with Jesus. Spend time in the presence of the Father and in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the Word. Don't just read the Bible. You know, get that Bible and let that be a revelation. Let it bring you into the light, you know, and respond to, you know, talk your way through what you're reading. Discuss it with the Lord. And it'll just open up and open up. To him who has will more be given. And so it's a process. But we are being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. We're being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.